The scripture reading will be from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. John 1, 29 through 34. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record that, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Thank you, Dennis. Good morning. See a lot of families here for the graduates. We're so thankful for that. And just think, it won't be long. These graduates will be earning enough money for us all to somehow make it on Social Security. I'm looking for the faces of the graduates to see if Olivia and Elizabeth and Dylan and Caleb and John, did y'all get that? We need you to go to work, is what we're saying. Boy, there's so many voices in the world today that deal with religion. How do I know which one to listen to? Because there's one guy, and he's a really good guy, and he preaches this one thing, and there's another guy, and he's a really good guy, and he preaches something completely contrary, and then there's this other guy, and he's very charismatic, and boy, you just want to believe everything he has to say. Not everybody who claims to proclaim Christ is of Christ. I remember years and years ago, I find it difficult every time I go buy something. Like the other day I went and bought something for 69 cents and $1.29, which makes it $1.98, and I'm thinking 6 cents tax on $2 because there's 3 cents tax on a dollar. I know I'm stuck in the 70s. But and so I'll say, how did it come up to that much? And she'll say, tax. I said, yeah, 3 cents. She says, no, what is it, 6.7? It'll be up by the time we get out of here this morning. I remember my mother sending me to the store with a dollar. Mom and pop store across the street from Erpy Irving School where I went. It was Irving School, but the kids in town called it Erpy. And buy dessert for the family. So I bought 3 Hostess cupcake packages and 3 cherry pie packages. And when I got home, I had 3 cents in my pocket. And that's true. Because back then they cost 15 cents each. And by the time we paid taxes and by the time I got a piece of bubble gum to chew on the way home on my bicycle, boy, how times have changed. But my mother didn't say, don't buy a loaf of Wonder Bread. Don't buy my favorite cereal, Cocoa Krispies. Don't buy this. Don't buy that. I was given a list. Buy 6 Hostess desserts. Now that was dessert at my house. And I was the guy that ate the cherry pie, at least one of them. But today there are so many people who would say, Just get whatever you want in religion. It doesn't matter if Jesus said it, just go for it. If Jesus didn't say it, do it anyway because the Lord didn't tell you not to. Do you know how thick the Bible would be if the Lord told you not to do everything that you're not supposed to do? Do you know how many times in a lifetime you could get it read through? Maybe once. But the reality of the Bible is that it is intended to bring faith. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Not Moses. Not Rick. Not that other guy down in San Antonio. Not Larry. Not Chris. But Christ. The words of Jesus. And so when we read John chapter 1 and verse 29, one of my favorite passages, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I was 20 when I came to realize that that is Jesus and that's what He does. He takes away the sin of the world. I wanted to cover a couple of things. I had 2 points today and I tried to make it 3 because I wanted to make the sermon longer. But I couldn't. So we'll see when we get out of here this morning. But number one, we want to look at the message. What did the eyewitness say about Jesus? Because you see, that's really the issue of Christianity. It's not what the preachers say today. It's what those people who were inspired of the Holy Spirit and who were eyewitnesses of Jesus, their testimony matters most of all. And so John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, I want to deal with the concept of the Lamb of God. So I want to begin in Revelation, the 5th chapter. There's a picture. If you have your Bibles or your iPads, one of these days when Joe gets his new iPad going, he'll be able to punch it in and it's there. Oh, you already got it going. Okay? That looks like the large version. The big iPad. But here we are in Revelation chapter 4. There is a picture of a throne in heaven. And surrounding that throne are the elders. And surrounding in front of that throne are these creatures that have eyes all around. And that throne is most important because it signifies that God is in control of everything. That's what it signifies. And we look at ourselves in a mirror and we realize we're not in control of anything. We can't even make our hair stay black. Or if you do go to get your hair colored, you probably won't get it colored the way you want. If you don't believe that, I know a young lady named Bonnie that you need to talk to. But in Revelation chapter 5, in building upon the scene of the throne of God, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll." This is God's message. This is God's writing. "A scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Now this is a lamb, folks, who's a lion inside. "He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each had a harp," and we could keep reading. But the issue is in verse 9, "You are worthy." Some people wonder, what is the book of Revelation teaching us? But it's very clear that these pictures have meaning. And this picture comes right out of Isaiah 53, a lamb. There will ever only be one lamb who can take away the sins of the world. There were many lambs who were offered in Jerusalem. There were many lambs who were offered come the Passover feast, even before they left Egypt. Many lambs have come, died, and been sacrificed, but there is only one who can take away the sin of the world, and that lamb is Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 53, the Bible says in verse 7, He, Jesus, was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus is that lamb, and that lamb is in control of everything today. Jesus, after his resurrection, it was proclaimed that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And we say, thank God. Because this lamb is the right lamb. And when John saw him, he didn't say, behold the cow. And he didn't say, look at this tiny mouse. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And the Israelites knew the significance of the Passover lamb. And later Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about how we need to be pure of heart, how we need to be pure in our worship, and pure in our thoughts. And there was a man at the church in Corinth who was doing things that were not right. He was having a sexual relationship with his stepmother. And that's the word. It says mother or father's wife, but the Greek word is stepmother. And the church was boasting about it. Do you think that's something that the Lord would boast about? See, the Lord would boast about forgiving that sin and getting him past that sin, not reveling in that sin. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. I'm so thankful that death occurred once. And that blood is the most precious of things. Read through the Bible and find out how many times in the Bible God permits man to touch blood. I know there are some people who are hunters, and they go out and they hunt deer and elk, and my brother-in-law, Kendall Fox, who preaches in Pacific, Missouri, he has all kinds of trophies. He even took a grizzly bear with a bow at 40 yards, one shot, on video. I saw it. I saw the bear skin that covers his and his wife's king-size bed. He's got all of these things. And there are a lot of hunters who think that, boy, when they kill the animal, they need to drink blood. But the Bible forbids that in the Old Testament. And read Acts chapter 15, it is forbidden in the New Testament. Because according to Leviticus chapter 17, life is in the blood. And so blood is very significant. It's a very holy thing to God. It's the most precious of things to God, next to you and me. So man is never permitted to just touch blood. It's to be revered. It's to be respected. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in dealing with that blood, there is this one person's blood who has made the door to heaven open. The door is open because of blood. Not because of, listen, I know that we're all good looking in here. If you're not, raise your hand. Joe, you almost raised your hand. We're all good looking in here. We're all smart. I know that. We're Americans. We have a good education. Most of us in here have common sense, but none of that stuff gets us to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18,
For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It's the blood. And the message of John the Baptist was, this Lamb of God will take away the sin of the world, but it's only this Lamb of God, not any others. Number two, how did John know that? You know, there are some things that my kids learned that I wonder, how did they learn that? You know, it wasn't too long ago, we were driving somewhere, Bonnie and I, and we had the grandkids with us, Bryden and Anaya and Kaylin, and somebody in front of me in the, you know, when you're driving up Rock Road, there are two lanes that go north. Do you know what those two lanes represent? One is the slow lane on the outside, and the other one's the passing lane on the inside. And I'm behind two people doing 50 miles an hour, one in the outside lane and one in the inside lane, and it's 55. So I think, oh, come on, let's go a little faster. Later that afternoon, when Anaya was riding with her father in his car, and she said, oh, come on, let's go a little faster. And he turned around and he wondered, where in the world did she hear that? I don't know. Or, oh, please, do we have to drive 50? You know what I'm saying? I'm so glad that you weren't the person I was behind. I didn't honk. I would like to have honked, but I didn't honk. Probably when I get another vehicle, my wife will probably cut the wire to the horn so I can hit it all I want. But there's a method. There's a way that John the Baptist knew, and this is what John said. John talked about that issue. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the third chapter. John the Baptizer was out baptizing people in the Jordan River, and he was warning them, and he was telling them to flee from the coming wrath. God's wrath is coming. Get yourself ready. And so they were going to him, and they were being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Beginning at verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, and by the way, that word baptizo means immersion. Baptism that's New Testament is never sprinkling. Sprinkling is not found in the New Testament. Ever. Pouring water over somebody's head is never found in the New Testament. Never. It's always immersion, and that's what the word baptism means. As soon as Jesus was immersed, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And so as John was doing all this baptism, some people were thinking John's baptism was a one-event thing, but that's not true. Yes, he got Israel ready to receive the message of Jesus, and that was his purpose. If you go back and read Mark chapter 1, John will talk about that his purpose was to prepare the way for the Lord. And so then Jesus came. Jesus had no sin to be forgiven, and so he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and the dove came and lighted on him. So you see, John, going back to John chapter 1, John said in verse 31, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. And then he said, this is what I saw. I saw the Spirit of God descend and light on Jesus and stay on Jesus. And God who sent me said, he is the Son of God. And that's all there is to that. John didn't need any other confirmation. So when John lost his head, lost his life over the fact that he had fit into God's plan, but his time was done, one of the things that John said before he died was that Jesus must become greater and I, John, must become less. But that's exactly the same application to you and I. When Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, he must become greater, I must become less. So what's the point? Well, the point is this. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and God miraculously made it known. But what's the meaning? Turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 4th chapter. Don't go to sleep on me yet. I'm almost done. In Acts, the 4th chapter, the apostles have been doing good to people, healing people, taking care of them. And then they are arrested and questioned, why are you doing this? And then beginning at verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked, how was he healed? Then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Is Jesus what John said he was? Is he the Lamb of God? For the rest of the Bible, for the rest of the New Testament, we find that yes, he is the Lamb of God. But he's not just a lamb. He's a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that word takes is in the present tense. He constantly takes away the sin of the world. We don't have to worry about a God who will say, okay, until you make another sacrifice, you're dead to me. Because the Bible says if we walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And we need that, don't we? And that's one of the reasons why all these family members are here for you graduates. Fellowship, familyship, companionship. That, let's face it, the world isn't going to help us get to heaven, but the church will. And that's why we need that fellowship. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with his Son, with one another, and his Son, Jesus Christ, washes us from our sins. He cleanses us, present tense. Why is that necessary? Because only perfection gets through the gates of heaven. Yes, I may be a sinner, but the question is, am I a saved sinner? There are a lot of people who will talk about being a sinner and be proud of being a sinner. But I'm more proud of the fact that God forgave me of my sins because I'm ashamed of the things that I did. I'm ashamed of the fact that I was disobedient to my parents when I was a teen and a young person. I'm ashamed of the fact that I was someplace I shouldn't have been drinking stuff I shouldn't have been drinking. But I am thrilled to know that there is a family who is on this earth who is going to help me get to heaven. And that family is the family of God, the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we say, thank God for that. And there's a lamb who's really a lion, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And John said, I know him because I saw him. I hope that you've seen Jesus. If you're here this morning and you haven't, we'll try to help point you in the right direction. So if you'll come and say, I need a little help, we'll try to help you. We will only teach you what the Bible teaches. We'll let it speak for itself. But if there's someone else here today who is a child of God and needs help, I'm going to tell you this, every one of us needs help. And we're here to help you today. But if there's someone who's never been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, that opportunity awaits you this morning, and we would be happy to celebrate a birthday, a new birthday, with you on this occasion. As we stand and sing, if we can assist you, the Lamb of God waits for you to come. Come while we stand and sing.